listener production.
Please leave your message after the tone.
Why am I jealous of my ex?
I am so stressed all the time.
How do I get into a routine?
Is TikTok making me anxious?
I think I'm being manipulated.
Someone told me you could live with half a brain.
This is Do You Fucking Mind? Mindset Hacks for a Badass Life, hosted by me, Alexis Fernandez.
Hello, beautiful darlings. Welcome to the episode of today's podcast. This is a listener question head noise episode. I'm going to be going over a bunch of questions that you guys submitted. Thank you for sending them through. Also, thanks for your vulnerability, honestly. And I know it's anonymous, but it's still extremely vulnerable to put down your own story and to want to hear someone else's perspective or someone's opinion. I think that's really cool. I think that's really awesome if all of you guys that do that. I appreciate it. Thank you. Let's just get straight into the episode of today. We've got some really interesting questions. Last week we had some sexual questions. This week I've got the other side of the sexual question, because last week we were talking about where, you know, someone's not happy with your, you know, where someone was not happy with someone else's lower level of sex drive and they were like, how do I, you know, like my fiance wants me to have sex more often, blah, blah, blah. I mean, I actually thought that dynamic was quite unhealthy. Go back and listen to it if you want. But this is a different perspective. We've got a few questions here. I've got three, maybe four, if I can get through them. So let's just go head first, nose first, whatever you want to call it. Number one, to be or not to be. Also, can you guys keep coming in thick and fast with these titles? I love a good title. And I'm not saying it's biased. I'm not saying that I'm going to choose the questions with the great titles, but they do make me very happy. To be or not to be. Dear Alexis, I want to start off by saying how grateful I am to have come across your podcast back in 2021. We've got a long-term bean here. I was in a very toxic relationship and your episode about narcissists is what really pushed me to do the inner work and free myself from not only that relationship, but all toxic relationships in my life, family included. I recommend you to everyone I know, and my best friend is now a huge fan too. Thank you. You have helped change so many people's lives. It's truly a beautiful and wonderful thing that you do. Here is the situation that I'm currently in. I've recently gotten myself in a relationship with a man a few years younger than me. I'm 33, he's 29. The age difference doesn't bother me as he's very mature for his age. I have personally never been in a healthy relationship where there is reciprocity, respect, communication, and an overall sense of calmness within the relationship. He has shown me all of these things and I'm excited to see where things go in the future. However, there is one thing that's been conflicting me, and it's his lack of experience in a real relationship and his lack of sexual experience. He was only ever in one relationship that lasted 3 months and has only had sex one time with that one person he was with, and it was 8 years ago. We attempted to get intimate not long ago, and it was probably the most awkward and unsatisfying experience I've ever had. He never got fully erect, and I could tell he was nervous and overthinking everything he was doing, very robotic and stiff. So we never actually ended up having sex. I assured him it was okay and that these things happen. He ended up leaving my place and then we talked about it ad nauseum. Since then, I've been really conflicted on how to proceed. I know he has basically no experience, so a good amount of patience is required, but I'm not 100% sure I want to wait around either. I feel like I'm being shallow, but good sex is just as important to me as having a healthy partner, and he really is nothing but green flags besides the physical intimacy. As of right now, I've decided to stick around and see how things progress in the bedroom, but would still greatly appreciate any advice from you regarding this situation. Thank you so much for everything that you do. You are a true queen bean. Such a good fucking question. Such I wouldn't even say unique. I'm sure a lot of people find themselves, but such like a, it's an important thing to ask yourself. It's an important thing to question and to, you know, like figure out what do I want to do here? I don't just want to like sweep it under the rug. It's a really important thing. Sex is very important to a lot of people and you want to find, you know, especially when it's such, when the relationship's so perfect, you're like, oh, I just, can this one thing go right? And then it's like, this is it. This is the person for me, you know? I think what's, look, these are the good things. I would say that, you know, given that he's only had sex, well, from what you're saying, twice so far in his life, You know, it's not to say that he's good or bad. It's just to say that there's zero experience there. So it's not to say that he can't learn. I would imagine all of us at our first time were pretty fucking average. Okay. So it's just later in his life that he's going through this. Normally when you're like slaying the dragons, you're a lot younger, everyone's shit at the same time. So you don't really realize. Whereas unfortunately for him, this is happening later in his life. So, you know, it's just more obvious from your perspective. But the fact that he's only done it twice, that's kind of a good thing because it's showing that it's not like he thinks he's good, but he's actually not. That's probably worse. Someone who like thinks they're a gun in the bedroom and it's like fucked, you know? Another thing is that he would be so in his head about it. So in his head about it. Oh my God. Because he's well aware. He's well aware about the difference in experience levels. He's going to want to try and impress you. And then that almost makes it worse for everyone involved. So I think that there's a lot of things to, you know, be understanding, which you clearly are with him. But then you also don't, it's a hard thing because you don't want to not address it. It needs to be addressed so everyone can enjoy it. You also have to be able to talk about it with him. And I think that it's really important to find a way to approach talking about it without it being like you don't want to talk to him like, oh, I don't want to offend you. Like you don't want to be condescending. So you've got to be able to talk about it freely. But at the same time, you also want to allow this thing to develop naturally. So there's a few ways that you can go about it before you go down the route of like getting someone to professionally help you with it, which you know, probably don't want to be doing straight away. But a few things that you want to be doing is, I think it's really important to tell somebody what you like. When it's very, even if they're great at sex, I think it doesn't hurt to be like, this is what I really like. I really prefer it when you do it this way. Some people just want to be told what to do. If, you know, if someone tells you exactly what to do, then you're like, it's a surefire way I'm going to please them. I'd rather that than be in the dark, especially when someone's relatively new at all of this. So don't be shy on telling him what it is that you like. Also, try and just have really hot makeout sessions. Because when you do that, you allow the person to be really comfortable with this sexual aspect of it without having to go all the way and without having to get in their head about performing. The more you can have these hot and heavy makeout sessions where you're feeling each other or you're really getting involved, the more comfortable he's going to start to feel just in that environment. Because a lot of sexual intimacy, yes, experience, of course, but a lot of it comes down to feeling very comfortable and in a very safe space. So yes, this will require work and patience from you. But I think that you would be kicking yourself if you didn't give it a red hot go. If this guy is a green flag and ticks every box in every other area, if I were in your position, I would be giving it as much of a chance as possible. I would give it many attempts before I would throw in the towel, because if someone's a great catch, a great match, they the way they treat you, the way you treat them, if everything else is going well and the respect is there, I would give it a solid few nudges for sure, because I think that there's definitely room to improve. There's a lot of experience that he hasn't had that he can, that can be gained. And people, when they want to, can pick up things pretty fucking quickly. I think what's important is sit him down and be like, you know, I want this to be fun for both of us. I want, like, I'm just going to be blunt with you so that way I don't come across as condescending, and that way we can just both be clear. Like, I just want this to be a safe space, but this is exactly what I like. I like it when, you know, do this, and then I'm going to do this and you tell me if you like it or not, and let's just fucking, you know, make it like almost so like it's awkward, but because you're so forward about it, then you're kind of throwing both of you in the deep end straight away. And in a way that kind of, sometimes you try and not offend someone by being so vague and it makes it more awkward. Sometimes if you're like, let's just make it really awkward for the first 5 minutes, but then there's literally like, I've just been so straight up and honest with you that it's kind of killed the awkwardness. We've been so real with each other. So I think you sometimes have to bite that bullet, and it's going to be awkward at the very beginning of that conversation. And then very, very quickly, there's nowhere else to go but to just hear each other out. And then, you know, and then from there, don't try and have sex straight away because it's been like, it's too clinical. Then from there being like, I want to start having really good makeout sessions with you. And wherever it goes, it goes. Okay, no pressure on the makeout session. The aim is to have a really hot and heavy makeout session. And then if it evolves in that way, then it does. And he's already aware of what it is that you kind of like. You've kind of, you know, you're trying new things as well. And I think that would be the best way to approach it. Apart from that, as you guys know, I'm no sex expert. So then, of course, you can approach it in a different way. But the main thing here is I think there's a lot of promise. If you've had zero practice and if you're in your head about it, of course, it's going to be shit sex. There's just no other way around it. There's no other way. No one is a sex god from day one. It just doesn't happen. So I think that it's all promising. It's really promising in my opinion. And I don't think you're being shallow. I think you're just a little bit scared being like, it's so perfect and this is so shit. Like that's a normal reaction to have. That's a totally normal reaction to have. Just, I would give it time, give it patience, give it your role. And then if it's just shit full stop and it's fucked and you can't look past it, well, you gave it your role. You tried. You tried. And for you, that's a non-negotiable. That's a non-negotiable. That's okay. Okay. Next question. Being the subject of limerence. Great. Let's talk about this. Alexis. First of all, let me say that your podcast is the first I've ever listened to and I love it. Thank you. You're so real and down to earth with your language and information. Thank you so much. I listened to the pod on limerence and I found myself relating to this in relationships from the past. Fast forward to now and I'm thinking I am becoming the subject of a person experiencing limerence. Is that how to describe it? Yeah, you're the limerent object, technically. That's how you would, like, that's what what you are. You are the limerent or the LO. There's like four names for it. It's really interesting. This person definitely has stronger feelings about our relationship than I do. So you're obviously feeling a friendship. They're feeling way more. I guess what I'm asking you is what is the best way to go about letting them down easy? I value their friendship and I don't want to lose that, but I feel they are more invested and I'm just not on that level. Kind regards and keep up the amazing podcast. Okay. Firstly, what's the saying? You can't have your cake and eat it too, or you can't eat your cake and have it too. You can't have it all. I mean, I like to think you can have it all, but I don't think you can have it all at the same time. So not always. So firstly, letting someone down easy is not the aim. You've got to let them down in the clearest way possible. And often it has to be done in a harsh, quote unquote, way. You could be polite about it, but it's got to be blunt. Sometimes our aim is to not hurt the person to the extent that we're so vague on how we let someone down, that we let them down so easy that they don't get what we're saying. They don't pick up on it. There's hope. You know, when I talk about hope being a weak dog, I'm not talking about hope in every aspect of life, but when it comes to relationships, the worst thing you can do is to have hope for someone that's tried to make it clear that they're not into you because you waste so much of your time. What you don't want to do is lead someone on unintentionally. And when you let someone down too easy because you want them to still like you as a friend, you run the risk of unintentionally leading them on. Like, I just don't feel that way about you now. Or, you know, maybe in the future things will change, but I don't know. Or I just don't want to ruin the friend. Like, this is a huge one. Oh my God. When people don't want to say, can't, I'm not into you. It's never going to happen because they want the friendship. What they end up saying is things like, I like you so much, but I just don't want to ruin the friendship. And then this person's like, oh my God, they're into me too, but they're scared to ruin the friendship. Maybe I can convince them one day. Just practice these lines with a good friend of yours and say, is any of these lines, are they ambiguous? Can they be read a different way? You have to let them down in a way that the way, whatever you say, cannot be interpreted in any other way other than I am not into you romantically. There's not a skerrick of me that wants to date you. Love you as a friend, but I absolutely do not want to date you under any circumstances in any lifetime. Not going to happen. Now you could word that in any way you want, but it's got to come across that clear, okay? You are doing them a huge favor. That in the long term is letting them down easy. In the short term, it's you being blunt, it's you being harsh, blah, 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 call it what you want to call it. But do you know how much time you can save someone, how much time I would have saved if people were a lot more blunt when they let me down in the past? Sometimes people are so vague because they don't want to hurt your feelings, which is selfish, can I just say? And I'll explain why in a second. But people are so vague that you're like, oh, there's hope, baby, maybe. Or when you've dated someone and they dump you, but they give you hope because they don't want to be the asshole. The thing is, when you let someone down easy because you don't want to offend them, because you don't want to ruin the relationship, because you want them still to like you and have good opinions of you. It all comes down to you caring about what people think of you. You want them to hold you in high esteem. But you've got to be thinking, what's the fairest thing I can do for this person right now? And that is to give them the most honest answer so they can have the tools and the information to move on in the quickest way possible. Okay? Especially when it comes to limerence. People with limerence, if this person is truly limerent with you, you've got to be blunter than any other situation, because limerent people who are limerent will grab onto the flakiest snowflake of a fucking, like the tip of a snowflake of a clue to be like, yes, they actually love me because my star signs told me that this fucking like, don't give them any, like they will grab onto wisps of bullshit to convince themselves that there's still a chance. So if this person's limerent with you, you got to say, listen, mate, it's absolutely not going to happen. And if it means ruining the friendship short term, ruin the friendship short term. I used to have a good friend of mine who, I don't know if it was limerence because we were very good friends, but who had fallen in love with me. This is years ago. I'm talking early 20s, late teens. And I loved this guy. But he was very, very much in love with me and he was very open and honest about it. He would like ask me out on dates, always try and convince me. And then it got to a point where at one point I'm like, I am actually being pretty cruel here. I'm being very selfish because I wanted to keep the friendship, but I could see that he was suffering because he really wanted it to be more than a friendship. And he couldn't see it as a friendship the way I did. I was hoping that he'd get over it and our friendship would just return. So I had to pull back massively from that friendship for a good like 8 months, probably barely saw him. It helped that, you know, we didn't live in the same city, but we would visit the same city very often. And then eventually, you know, because of that, because there was the distance and there was the almost no communication, he then moved on. And once he moved on, we were able to meet back again as friends. And he was very much over me, very much in love with somebody else. And then that's when we were able to really have a friendship. So in this scenario, the friendship was resuscitated, but it was because he had to have the space completely get over me. And then, well, in his case, he did find someone else, which he was very much in love with. So I had to forfeit a friendship that really mattered to me to do him the favor, because it would have been very selfish to stay friends with someone, because it's fun. It's fun when someone has a crush on you. You get all the attention. They like you so much. They're at your beck and call. They can, but that's very selfish and it's very unfair. So if I were you, I would be extremely blunt. If it means cutting the relationship, the friendship for short term, do it. But you need to be kind to this person. If you care about this person, you're going to be as blunt and honest as possible. It's really hard, but that's just the only way. Next question. Related, this is the title. Related to last week's epi, but from the other side of the problem, please help. Good morning. Thank you so much for all you do. I love the podcast. Here's the thing. I love how people just dive straight in. I love it. I heard last week's episode about not being over an ex, and I think I'm on the receiving end of this situation. My fiance and I have been together for 4 years now. He had a girlfriend of 6 years before me. I've been told by very many people that she was toxic/manipulative and ended up cheating on him on a bachelorette trip. He tried to move past this, but ultimately couldn't. We met very soon after their breakup and had gone on 2 to 3 dates very early on. She tried to come back into his life and he told me that he needed time to think and ultimately choose. So he wanted to pursue me and he ended things officially with her. I didn't know if that's completely true or if she ended up saying, never mind, like that she didn't want to go on with the relationship, I'm guessing. He mentioned that she was upset on hearing that he was moving on. So obviously she had heard that he had gone on dates with you and then she got upset. We love each other deeply and have worked through so much in the last 4 years to get to the relationship we have today. The problem I have is shaking that feeling that I was the safe choice or that she said, never mind, and he stayed with me to avoid being alone. I didn't know if this is my insecurity or a gut feeling I should explore before making a life commitment. I believe he loves me, but sometimes I will see he still searches her on social media and it makes me wonder if he is over her /wishes he could have gone back and changed the outcome. He says he's never had that thought and loves our life and will search when he thinks back to his happy times together, but not in an I miss her or love her type of way. But why search her if he's genuinely over it / happy with me? I'm worried he's telling me what I want to hear and this is unsettling. Anyway, any insight would be greatly appreciated. Love your Canadian girly. Also, shout out to my Canadian beans. I've got a bunch of you there. You guys are fucking legends. Babe, I feel you. I can see why you're like feeling this turmoil. I totally understand. One thing I did want to address to start with is the feeling like you're the safe option thing. Even if that was the case, I don't think 4 years on it would be the case. Like that might be, and that's not a bad thing. I think it feels really scary to be like, oh my God, I was the safe option, whatever. Sometimes people make a calculated, smart decision, you know, and it's not a bad thing. Like if you would turn the tables around, imagine if you were in a relationship where someone had cheated on you, and like you loved them very much, but then they cheated on you. They did something that like broke your trust forever and you just couldn't move past it. Then you broke up. Then you started seeing someone who was legend, really nice, but you still had feelings for your ex. Then you're at a crossroads. You're like, do I start this new life with this legend who I've just met where there's so much potential? Yes, it's safer because they haven't hurt me, or go back to my ex who's really hurt me. And then you think, nah, I'm gonna invest in this new person. It's probably, I don't even think it's a safer bet because you're thinking like we just met, right? How could that be safer? I don't know much about this person. I'm putting my investment into this new person who I have faith in the future with. So if you were to turn it around and look at it from your perspective, I would look at that as a big compliment. Because even if it was a safer bet, it's also risky in the sense that there's no history, there's no proof of longevity. This person with the little that they saw in me still thought, I'm willing to give this a red hot go. So I think, and even if they thought because it's safer, I think it's a nice choice. If I was in that position, I'd be like, that's still really lovely that you thought, nah, I'm gonna try with this fresh new thing. So I like that. I actually think that's cool. So that I think is fine. The fact that he still thinks about his ex, I think everyone thinks about their ex, whether it's in like, some people think about their exes like that fucking asshole, that fuck, you know, and they hold on, they harbor all these feelings. Some people think about their exes in a nostalgic, like, oh, I hope they're doing well, but I just couldn't be with them anymore. Like, I think everyone at some point thinks about their ex in some way, shape, or form. I don't think it's healthy to be looking at your ex on social media, but he's not the one listening to this. You are. People do look back in time and think, this is how I think about it. Should he be looking up his ex on social media for his own sake? No, I just don't think it helps at all. Unless you're so far over it and it's like, I don't know. Like I would look up my ex on social media if someone was like, oh my God, did you know that they now have 8 children? I'll be like, what? Oh my God. And I'd like, for sure, for shit like that. But in general, just to look back and think, you know, sometimes people look being like, do I feel anything? Do I not? Do I this? Like to try and dig up, is this, maybe I'm feeling this. Like, I don't think it helps in that regard. But I don't know. I just feel like if everything is going well, if apart from knowing that one piece of information, you're not getting any other warning signs from this guy, then I don't think it's serious enough to like step away and walk away from it. I think when people are in private, their thoughts are a lot different to, especially when it comes to their exes, to what they're going to talk to you about. Of course, he's not going to sit there and talk about the depths of his relationship with his ex and how he had to heal from that. Even though he did love you, he was still healing from something else. And he went through this whole turmoil and now he's really happy and comfortable. But sometimes he thinks back and thinks, you know, how is her life now? I wonder, because, you know, he probably isn't going to share that with you because he doesn't want to hurt your feelings. But it doesn't mean that he doesn't love you the way he's showing that he loves you. It doesn't mean that he prefers his ex over you. I don't think that. I think that there are definitely maybe healthier ways to navigate that. But I also think that if everything else is going well, I wouldn't take this as a red flag. And I wouldn't think that you can't, you know, commit your life with him. Well, I mean, I don't know about committing your life. I think even marriages break down, but like to commit your future with him, you know, I just think, and the thing is that you've even spoken about it with him and he's able to talk to you about it. So Yeah. I think if you can just keep the conversation open, not like to be bringing it up all the time, but just to, you know, if you think he's genuinely happy in your relationship, then I think there's no major problem moving forward. I think some people just get curious about their past and curious about their exes. And from the perspective of the current partner, it's always going to hurt if you say something like that. Like, I'll be dead honest, I'm so secure with Tyrone, but if he was randomly just stalking his ex on his Instagram, of course I'd have this niggling thing of like, oh, I wonder why. But deep down, would it make me question how he feels about me? No, it wouldn't. Deep down, it wouldn't. But of course, I would also be like, oh, like, I wonder why he's doing that and does, like, that's so, like, that's weird. And so would he, vice versa. I think it's always, like, strange to come across that. But we are complicated beings and we all have a past. And that past impacts us in different ways. And maybe there were certain things that triggered a memory. So it just made him go down a dark rabbit hole of just kind of like looking at all these people's past, including his exes and things like that. So it could be that. But look, if everything else is going well, if there's no red flags other than this one thing, I wouldn't look at that as being like, I now need to dump this guy. I would look at it as he's being, you know, he's being slightly unhealthy with how he deals with his, like, you know, exes and stuff, but it's perfectly fine, I think. You know, just, you know, see if he wants to talk about it. And if not, then, yeah, I don't know. I think it is slightly grey, this topic, to be honest. So I'm sorry I couldn't give you a full-on answer to that. I think we've got time for one more question. Okay, final question for the episode. This one's really good. So before I go into it, just a quick overview. This is about people that struggle with relationships based around watching their parents have a fucked relationship. And I think so many people can relate to that. Hi, Alexis. I wanted to thank you for all the amazing podcast episodes. They have tremendously helped me through many tough moments. You are amazing. I want to share my story with you. I would like to hear your take on this. I found out my mom was cheating on my dad when I was 12. I was using her phone one day to make a call. I saw the intimate text she exchanged with a number that was not saved on the phone. Upon discovering the secret, my body was shaking. My heart was racing so fast that I could not even breathe. I was unsure what to do. So I have withheld this discovery from my dad for all those years, but I know the affair continues today. That's so fucking hectic. My parents have a terrible marriage that should have ended a long time ago. They are emotionally abusive to each other. They fight and argue regularly. Sometimes fights even escalate to physical abuse. My parents always come to me when they fight and make me feel obligated to mediate the conflicts between them. As my parents often say to me, if it weren't for you, we would have divorced a long time ago. We kept our marriage together just so you can have a family. Okay, just put an asterisk there because I'm absolutely going to return to that point. Constantly being the mediator of the marriage has suffocated me over the years. As a result, I have some depressive episodes over the years. I could not take it anymore. So at 17, I decided to move to New Zealand and start a new life here on my own. This is my 10th year in New Zealand. Now I have a job that I love and I've made meaningful connections here. I have a very positive outlook on life. My friends describe me as a very cheerful and bubbly person. However, it feels like I switched to a different persona when it comes to intimate relationships. Over the years, I've dated people and been in relationships, but all ended miserably. All my exes felt dating me was like walking on an eggshell because I was always somehow convinced that they were cheating on me or being unfaithful. More importantly, for all the relationships I've been in, I genuinely struggled to love the other person. I am unsure what love entails and how to show love to another person. Sometimes I feel I'm incapable of loving someone. Upon reflection, I started realizing that potentially these problems I experienced in romantic relationships might be rooted in the traumatic experiences I had with my parents. These experiences have taken a serious toll on my ability to successfully nourish a romantic relationship. Can I just say before we continue, absolutely, it is connected for a lot of people. Not everyone is impacted by it, but if you're feeling this way and if that's the pattern of what you've been exposed to, that's very fucking common. 2 years ago, I opened up to my mum telling her I knew she had an ongoing affair with someone and how this has taken a toll on my intimate relationships. She completely dismissed what I said and said that I was just imagining things and reading into things too much. I'm very estranged from my parents. I have been overseas for 10 years now and I rarely miss my parents or want to seek any help or support them when I'm struggling or support from them when I'm struggling. I feel internally conflicted because they are my parents who gave me a life and provided me financial support to me when I first came to New Zealand. I should show more gratitude and appreciation to them. However, on the other hand, this trauma that they have flicked on me has made it a challenge for me to have successful intimate relationships as an adult. Parts of me are reluctant to be close to them. I feel conflicted and I'm not sure how to resolve this. P.S. I'm unsure if I will ever experience success in romantic relationships. Listening to your podcast has equipped me with lots of skills and tools to manage the impact of childhood trauma on relationships. Fingers crossed, I hope one day you will receive another letter from me telling you about my loving relationship. Warmest regards, you are a star. I really hope that is the case as well. But let's, before I address your romantic relationship, let's talk about what was said to you as a, well, as a child and throughout now as an adult. Firstly, I think it's extremely, extremely, not only unhealthy, but extremely unacceptable when parents expect the child to mediate or get involved in any way, shape, or form. Okay. The reason for this is that even as an adult, because we have these experiences from a child, it's really hard to look at your parents in any other light other than your parents. Even if you yourself are a full-grown adult with children, it's still really difficult to look at your parents other than being your parents. It's hard to just look at them as, you know, adults going through life in with their own dramas and issues and whatever. And due to that, we're half each parent, okay? And as children, when you watch your parents fight or when one parent says something bad about the other parent to you as a child, you instantly feel attacked because you're like, I'm half the other person. So even as an adult, and of course as a child, when parents are like trying to get to mediate or what a lot of parents do is they'll try and get you to be a witness and then try and be like, see how your father has done that again? See how they did it again? You saw it. Didn't you say it? Didn't you see it? And they want you to get involved and say, yep, I saw it, and throw your other parent under the bus. Inappropriate! In a fucking appropriate. Inappropriate. If you want to witness, be your own fucking witness. Stand on or fall on your own sword. If you want to have an argument with your spouse, go for fucking gold. But don't grab your child and say, you witnessed this, didn't you? Deal with it yourself. Deal with it your fucking self. Don't bring your children into your arguments as witnesses. It's bullshit, and it makes the child feel so conflicted, so torn. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how old the child is. Stop it. Or divorce, okay? But stop bringing your children into your bullshit. They don't want a part of it. They don't want a bar off your shit, okay? So I hate it. It makes my blood boil when people do this because I think it's totally acceptable. Like as if the dynamic between them and their spouse is the same as them and their child. It's such a different dynamic. It is inappropriate to do that. And then I'm getting sweaty and I'm wearing a big sweater and I'm rolling my sleeves up because I'm just getting fired up. But then your parents have the nerve to say that they kept the marriage together so you can have a family. First of all, as last time I checked, a family is still a family, whether the parents are married or divorced, number one. Number two, children, while divorce is extremely difficult on children, there's no two ways about it. In general, divorces are really difficult on children. What is worse for a child is to grow up in a broken household where the household is still in the same household, but there's cracks, there's yelling, there's abuse, verbal and physical in your case. So you're exposed to that and they think you'd rather that than them being divorced. Like these, I'm sorry, but your parents are fucking high on crack if they think that you would rather watch them physically abuse each other, then have them live separately. Like people are cooked when it comes to this notion of marriage. Like, yeah, okay. No one wants their children to have to go through their parents being divorced. But you've always got to look at what's the alternative. Like no one sits here and thinks, okay, yeah, okay, divorce would suck for the child. But the current reality is worse, okay? So I would... If it makes you feel better, if I were you, I would absolutely put my parents in their place for that. And I would say that to them, whether by letter or next time, if they ever bring it up again, I would say, you need to sit down. Don't utter a word until I'm done, because I deserve to have my say. And this is what I'm going to say. If you want to dismiss me, if you want to be in denial, fucking live your fucking life. But this is what I'm going to say. So hopefully you care enough to listen to your child. This is the situation. The fact that they helped you to move to New Zealand and they helped you financially is completely independent of these other issues that they're having. Completely different. You can be grateful. You can say thank you. You can say, you know, I really appreciate your help. It means so much to me that you helped me. But at in the same conversation, you're still able to say, this was inappropriate. You know, because if you're like, just because they helped you financially, people don't buy each other's love. Okay, you don't want to say, oh, well, they gave me that favor, so now I can't pull them up on the fact that they're being completely inappropriate on including me in their marital drama and then making me feel guilty for why they're still together. It's so unfair. And also, they're putting it on you. Their decisions are their decisions. Parents have to own their decisions. If they chose to stay together because they had a child, they chose it. Not, oh, you know, we did this for you. We did this. No, I'm sorry. No. Like, don't put it on me. You've got to own your own shit. And also, if you're going to have conflict, do it in your own time. Don't ever do it in front of me ever again. Not interested. Not fucking interested. I'm an adult. I'm going to remove myself from this situation. A lot of people are still in this dynamic, even as adults, where they have to be exposed to watching their parents still bicker and fight and yell at each other and bring them into it. If this is you listening right now, you can say to your parents, you know what? I came here for a lovely lunch. I'm leaving. Stand up and go, I don't have to put up with this anymore. I don't live here anymore. I don't live under this roof. I am not under 18 anymore. I don't have to put up with this shit anymore. And if every time I come over, you're going to expose me to this garbage, then I'll just see you one-on-one individually, because I don't have to put up with this anymore. And so many people just sit and accept and absorb it because they're raised in that way and they're so used to it. And it's really hard to break these patterns, these inter-family patterns that get established over decades. But you can break that pattern by removing yourself from the situation, okay? And if you are someone right now who's like, oh, but I need my children to back me up when I do this, you got to ask yourself, why is it that you need your children to back you up when you're arguing with your spouse? Like, why is that? Is it because your spouse never believes you? Is it because there's obviously other issues if that's the case. If you can't have a civil, even if you're yelling, whatever, but if you can't have a conversation where it's just the two of you expressing how you're feeling about your marriage without needing people to back you up, there's a problem. There's an issue with the dynamic here, because you two should be able to discuss what's going on, just the two of you in your marriage. You shouldn't have to bring a child in to back up your evidence as a witness, because if you're saying, well, unless I've got someone as a witness, they're going to deny it to the death, then you've got a liar. Then there's a fucking liar. That's what the problem is. It's not the fact that you don't have an army of people to back up your argument. It's that you're with a liar. Okay? So you've got to look at it that way. You've got to look at it as we've got to be able to sort our personal problems between the two of us. And if you want to bring people into it, fine, just not your children. Bring your fucking best friends into it who have witnessed your shit before. Bring whatever. Bring any adult who is not a child. Fucking, if they're consenting, do what you want to do. But I just think it's inappropriate to bring your kids into it and make them and pit your child against the other parent. I think that's just not okay. Anyway, that is the topic of today's episode. Love you guys so much. Thank you, my Canadian beans, for writing in. Love you all. You guys are the real MVPs. My New Zealand beans. I've got lots of Canadians and New Zealands and heaps of global beans in general, but a few Canadian and Kiwis that have been writing into me lately. So big hello to all of you. Love you guys so much. Thank you for writing in. As always, remember, be kind to yourself, be kind to your brain. Don't take shit from anyone, and especially don't take shit from yourself. Dogger!